I'm Frank Vaughn. It's May 28, 2026. Wish I could claim to be enthusiastic about anything I'm going to report today. Hard to get enthusiastic about a steady stream of what I would consider to be bad news for all of my objectives in the world, but we're going to do it anyway. First up, the world is very much consumed with conversations around hantavirus, and more so Ebola now. Ebola is the next thing. Biggest outbreak ever. This is one of those where it's not even airborne. This is a situation that's highly avoidable for every country in the Western Hemisphere. So I'm not really sure why it gets that much copy. Here's an ongoing problem. I would call it a medical experiment. We always talk about the C-19 medical experiment, but here's another one. Ozempic may be reshaping the brain, scientists say. GLP-1 drugs may be rewiring circuits involved, not only in appetite, but in emotion, desire, and beyond. Turns out Ozempic is another medical experiment that people are lining up to participate in. I know people who have gone on this drug. People who have gone on this drug and have experienced intense autoimmune flare-ups to the point that it is debilitating. I'm not entirely sure that it's linked to the drug. Nobody seems to be entirely sure, but we're just rolling it out for this off-label use of weight loss. And we're learning about it in real time. So while we talk about Ebola, maybe we should be more concerned with Ozempic. You probably already heard about this, but Tim Hortons dialing back use of temporary foreign workers aims to recruit 10,000 local team members. First off, I will never buy a Tim Hortons coffee again. They can go to hell. They can rot in hell. They're a terrible company. The only reason they're doing this is because there's already a crackdown underway under the Liberal government to cut TFW usage. In fact, Canada's population has fallen 2 quarters in a row because of their removal of international student visas and looking at canceling permanent residencies and getting rid of TFWs, because I think they may have figured out that mass immigration is a bad idea. We will see. These are early days. They certainly haven't announced this. This wasn't what they campaigned on, but it is what they're doing. And Tim Hortons is seeing that. They're also seeing the public backlash. People shouldn't forget that this is a company that was more than happy to take advantage of these programs for years. And it's also a company that virtue signals about their Canadian identity when they're not a Canadian company at all. They're owned by a foreign conglomerate. The profits leave the country. They're happy to take advantage of weak immigration laws and TFW labor pools. They're happy to fill hotels with coffee baristas that work long hours, and if they speak out of line, they'll just get sent back. They're horrible. They're a terrible company. They will remain a terrible company. I could give a damn how many tens of thousands of Canadians they hire, because it's really only virtue signaling. It's really only hastening the decline of this nation. And I mean that. It is my opinion that every single coffee purchased at Tim Hortons, every single donut, is another shot in the head of this country. The same as when we were doing the elbows up, doing the election nonsense, and everybody was virtue signaling about buying coffee crisps, as if Nestle isn't a Swiss company. The profits from your coffee crisp purchase go to a foreign conglomerate. Everybody was talking about ketchup brands and buying Canadian and saying, this brand uses Canadian tomatoes, but it's an American company using Canadian tomatoes, and all the profits leave the country. People are so superficial. They don't even understand the consequence chain of their own actions. I would argue they don't even care. They just want to look like they're doing something. Now, you guys don't like it when I drift into geopolitical analysis, but let's listen to Pierre Polyev do some geopolitical analysis right now.
You ever been out for a run and told yourself that you were running as fast as you could? Nah. If you were being chased by a bear, you could run faster still. Just ask the Germans. They were being chased by a Russian bear. You see, the Germans were relying on Russian gas to power their economy, but then when Putin invaded Ukraine, they realized that was a very dangerous idea. They had to break their dependence on this aggressive neighbor, so they permitted a new LNG import terminal in Germany.
It makes me sick to listen to this guy talk about geopolitics, to understand that the Conservative Party of Canada is in complete and total alignment with the Carney Liberals when it comes to foreign policy vis-a-vis Ukraine. This is the guy we're backing. Zelensky names commando unit after World War II Nazi collaborators. This is, in fact, following in the wake of us inviting a Ukrainian Nazi war hero to our parliament and applauding him. We support a coup-installed regime. That's what is governing Ukraine. Now, somebody said to me, it's not the coup-installed regime. There was an election. There's an old saying, you don't care about elections as long as you control who controls the ballots. Who controlled the ballots in the post-coup world? What government is in power now, as I noted in my tweet, we support a coup-installed regime that is now a dictatorship, has stayed in power long past its mandate, has refused elections because they know they will get they will lose, and one that honors genocidal heroes who stood side by side with Heydrich and Himmler. The problem is, most people who support this and wave the Ukrainian flags probably have no idea who Heydrich and Himmler are. But these are the two Nazi lieutenants that worked hand in hand with these Ukrainians that are being celebrated by Zelensky to eliminate not just the Jewish population, but the Polish population and many other present minorities that were in Ukraine at the time. It was a slaughterhouse. And the Conservative Party of Canada and the Liberals are united. Now, back to his analysis. He talked about Germans being chased by a Russian bear, that Russia is this aggressor nation. It is NATO that has expanded to Russia's borders, not the other way around. It is NATO that, through the United States, NATO's leader, for now at least, has built a ring of bases all over the planet. We are the empire now. The Russians, for their part, have been invaded 6 times by Europe. We, and I say we, but it's not me. It's certainly not me. Pierre Poilievre completely ignores the history of how we got here. He ignores the Maidan coup. He ignores the nature of the Ukrainian regime, just like Carney does, and parades this idea that it is foolish for the Germans to buy Russian natural gas and energy. It's a perfect fit. It's always been a perfect fit. It's the only fit that works for Germany, because Russian energy is proximal. It's right there. All this nonsense that he's talking about LNG import terminals, these are doomed to fail. They're too expensive. Now, Canada could be involved in this bubble where LNG is a real thing going into Europe in the absence of the common sense approach, which is to buy Russian energy, to integrate Russia into Europe. And after years of unnecessary economic suffering under a German government that unconditionally supports Ukraine and its effort to kill an entire generation of its youth. They can't. If you look at demographics and you look at the birth rate, every single death that is happening in Ukraine is a tragedy, an irreplaceable tragedy, because people have stopped having babies. Ukraine is a breadbasket for Africa and other places around the world. There's going to be no one left by the time Europe is done making sure this war doesn't end. It could have been over years ago. It is Europe that keeps it going. But putting all that aside, Pierre Poilievre is not just on the wrong page here in Canada. He's on the wrong page when it comes to the sum total of German public opinion. The Alternative for Deutschland is now the number one polling party in Germany, and they want to get rid of this nonsense. They basically said, we're sick of self-inflicted wounds. We want to get back to doing business. We want to buy that cheap Russian gas. We want to buy that cheap Russian energy so that we can get our factories pumping again and we can renew our economy. And we're also sick of the mass immigration, which is destroying German society. And they're popular, and they're growing in popularity, because the ideas that Poilievre is expressing in this video have been tried and have failed. And this is one of the reasons why the Conservative Party is in the toilet. There may be a consensus in this country around certain very bad ideas, and the CPC is trying to cater to those bad ideas that Canada has formed an ill-conceived consensus around. But it's not a winning strategy. Just look at the poll numbers. The Liberals are in control. You can't beat them at their own game. How many election cycles do the political class in this country, the conservative political class in this country, how many cycles do they have to go through relearning the same lesson? You can't beat them at their own game. You have to redefine the game. And they say, well, we can't redefine the game, because if we redefine the game, will be even more unpopular. You'll dip, but then you will expand. And you have to stop delaying the short-term pain of that dip because victory is on the other side of it. You can't delay it forever. We're now 10 years into this mess. Mark Carney is the most popular prime minister, maybe in world history, who's campaigned and delivered a message consistently of Canadian doom. A decline in our living standards, a decline in our public services, a decline in belt tightening and austerity, and all of these messages coming from a liberal, cutting immigration in ways that he never campaigned on, lowering the price of real estate so that people who are still, I mean, I still see people online talking about the fact that they are going to sell their homes and they're going to retire with a bundle. But the evidence of the list prices of homes and the sale prices, if they can find a buyer, tells me that people's retirements are going up in smoke. These boomers who keep the liberals in office are being screwed by the liberals, and they love it. Now, there's certainly a lot of things going on in the country that Pierre Poilievre could be running with. Here's an example. I thought this was a fake headline when I read it. Ontario man dies of maid after being assessed outside of Tim Hortons. I thought for sure everybody had been duped by a fake generated image, but turns out it's real. It's so real. A London, Ontario doctor who assessed a patient with inflammatory bowel disease, IBD, and a history of mental health issues, for maid outside of Tim Hortons location, and later personally drove the man to the place his life was ended, has agreed to a minimum of 6 months supervision. The first problem? 6 months supervision. You used your medical license to assess a man outside of a Tim Hortons, and then you drove him to the place he was off. Most people would go to jail for murder. That's what would happen. But in this case, he gets 6 months of supervision and his freedom. Now, we don't know why this happened, but the real issue is people with medical license outside of the judiciary, outside of the legal system, have the power to approve people for self-deletion who probably just need help. What a tragedy this country has become. We are the epitome of socialism gone wrong. We've gone from universal medicine and talking about the guaranteed right of access for everybody, talking about pharmacare and dental care and mental health issues and all this stuff. Now, we have a full court press in the media declaring it a tragedy that we haven't opened MAID up to people who are just suffering from mental illness. Mental illness, as it's defined, could be seasonal depression, could be drug addiction, could be irritable bowel syndrome and other mental health issues. And the tragedy is, it could be your kid, it could be your children, it could be your brother, it could be your sister, it could be people that you've put decades into trying to help, can now go and get rubber stamped for MAID. And all anybody wants to talk about is how it should be easier. Again, with the demographic crisis that we have, birth rates in decline, can we really be affording to just off anybody that feels a little upset? I covered on my program how a certain individual in Toronto, it's always Toronto, a perfectly healthy woman is complaining that she can't get self-deletion services because she wakes up every day with anxiety, as if all of us don't wake up with anxiety. The person needs help. They don't need self-deletion. But the media promotes the story as a shortcoming of government, that they're not providing self-deletion services fast enough for people who just want out. As if the only, it's interesting that it's illegal for you to coach somebody into self-deletion. Technically, in some ways, it could be illegal, depending on the context, for you to do it yourself. But it also creates this mechanism, this psychology, where the only people who can end your life is the state. Isn't that bizarre? Doesn't that disturb anybody? Isn't that the most dystopian thing you ever heard? Remember when eugenics was bad? Remember when deleting entire classes of people was bad before we started before we unconditionally started celebrating Nazis in Ukraine? Back in those times, Pepperidge Farms remembers when this was all verboten, not that long ago. What happened? Now, I do want to touch on a few things in a more granular way as regards the Ukraine war. what's happening in the Middle East vis-a-vis Iran and the upcoming midterm elections in the United States. First off, we'll just deal with this. U.S. refuses to condemn Russia's plan to target Kiev. The Russians have given warning for 3 days now that systemic strikes are coming to Kiev. I think they're just going to level the entire city center. They're going for the underground bases. They're going to try and hit command and control. They may even try and kill Zelensky. It's a gloves-off kind of moment, and they're communicating to the Americans and to the Europeans, you better get your people out or they're going to die. And they're giving them time to comply. More time than I thought they would give, which only increases my assessment that this is going to be a serious escalation and new chapter. The final chapter, I think, before the Russians are forced to actually at least consider hitting targets in Europe. Because there's only so long, it's been several years now, that they can go along being restrained while the entire Western world works to arm and kill Russians in Ukraine. And like one of the biggest problems I have with Pierre Polyev, one of the greatest problems I have with most of the commentary when it comes to the war, is it completely ignores the history of how we got here. The Russians didn't want this war. They make them sound like they're these aggressors. This is a special military operation is about as close to a defensive operation as you can possibly get while being in another person's country. It is way more justified than anything NATO did in Libya, than anything NATO has done in many other countries around the world. It's far more justified than what the Americans did to the Iraqis in two wars, actually three wars, not just Gulf War, not just when Bush Jr. went in there and declared victory, but the Iran-Iraq War. This whole idea that the Western world stands on top of this moral heap of unassailable, value-driven virtue is one of the greatest delusions that we engage in. I'm not surprised. The United States is trying to play a very clever game because they are caught in a trap in Iran and in the Persian Gulf of their own making. And so they've lifted sanctions on Russian oil. They keep renewing those. It's funny because the Treasury Department comes out and they say, we're not going to renew the sanctions relief for Russia. And then a day or two later, they do it. And this is a theme that over and over and over again keeps coming up, is that every single day we have to deal with the shifting sands of U.S. messaging when it comes to Iran. One day we have a deal. One day we're going to bomb. One day we have a deal. One day we're going to bomb. And then the latest, which is, I mean, should really give people pause, is Trump saying the strait is going to be open to everybody. It's international waterways. We'll watch over it, but nobody's going to control it. Oman will behave like everybody else, and we'll have to blow them up. They understand that. There are people who are saying that Trump just misspoke, that he meant to say Iran, and instead he said Oman. But I think it should be clear that the State Department, after Trump said this live on camera, the State Department clipped it and shared it. So this is a U.S. vassal state, practically speaking. We'll call them a U.S. ally in modern parlance. They have been very cooperative with U.S. demands. This in spite of the fact that part of the deal with the petrodollar is that the United States provides protection against aggressor nations. And during this war, the United States has protected one nation and one nation alone. That is Israel. The Gulf cooperation countries have been left to fend for themselves as Israel takes the priority of the entire force of the American military being completely deployed for Israel's purposes. So this is a vassal state that has been targeted by an aggressor and not protected by the Americans. And now the Americans are saying, if you don't do what you want, we want, we'll bomb you just like we bombed Iran. Can anybody see that this is out of control? And then the idea that the Strait of Hormuz is an international waterway. Literally not. Look at any map. You have coastal territorial waters of multiple nations. They are well within their rights to manage it however they see fit. That includes if they want to assess a toll. That goes for Oman. That goes for the UAE. That goes for all of those nations that share access to the Strait of Hormuz. It's a simple measurement in miles. This is not an international waterway. He might want to make it an international waterway. It has functioned largely as an international waterway until the Americans went in and started bombing things. Now, It's territorial water. This is a result, not of the Iranians, who they said they could do it. They said they could do it for decades. They never did it. They only did it when they were attacked for the second time under a flag of truce. I don't know how people can sit back and think we are the virtuous good side here. And when I say we, I'm talking about the collective West, because we might as well be all together in on this. It might be the Israelis and the Americans doing the shooting, but whenever they bomb Iran, nobody condemns it in the West. But whenever Iran retaliates, they fired a ballistic missile at a U.S. airbase in Kuwait. The whole world is quick to condemn that retaliation. It's so classless and tasteless and dishonest and one-sided. Are the Iranians pure as the driven snow? Of course not. But are they any worse than the United States and its dealings with the world and the way that it conducts its imperium in the world? Doubtful. Very doubtful. The peace president not only failed to protect the Gulf cooperation countries, dedicating almost all American resources to defending Israel instead, but now he's threatening Oman, a long loyal vassal, with kinetic destruction if they exercise sovereignty over their waters. The Strait of Hormuz has never been an international waterway. Just the truth, folks. Just the truth. Trump is making it up as he goes. And this is another thing, too. Trump has been making it up as he goes for months, and we've been left to sift the ever-shifting sands of the administration's talking points looking for reality. Yet Iran has been consistent until today. What am I talking about? I'm reading one of my tweets. Sorry if it's in a disjointed way. This comes from yesterday. Today, they made up their own fake peace agreement, which I believe was done more to prove a moral point than accomplish anything concrete. And the White House obliged, having the audacity to whine about it. So Trump comes out, and his administration comes out. They say a bunch of false things. They say they're on the verge of peace. We've been on the verge of peace for weeks and weeks and weeks. And remember, this whole thing started when this war was supposed to be over in 24 to 48 hours. Nobody's lied more since the start of this conflict than the Trump administration. It is wild to see. And so they've been making it up as they go, and the Iranians have been largely consistent. When they say something publicly, for the most part, they carry it through. And they're quick to slap down any of the false assertions of the Trump administration. Well, that changed because they just decided to make up their own peace agreement. The White House whined that they made it up and it had no basis. In fact, this was just yesterday. And I think they did it to prove a point that they can make up stories too. But now we're here today and we're hearing that there is an agreement on a memorandum of understanding and a 60-day window and all of this stuff. Can we really believe it? Now it's Thursday. Can we really believe it? Is this just more market manipulation? Is there actually going to be some kind of agreement? Because one of the difficulties that Trump faces is, first off, what's ceasefire? If you want to criticize Iran's position, they said they required a ceasefire in Lebanon. There's been no ceasefire in Lebanon. And like, what's with the Lebanese government? They're just perfectly okay having vast quantities of their territory ethnically cleansed by the Israelis. And they spend all of their time condemning Hezbollah while their military just stands by and allows their civilians to be bombed to death. What kind of a fake country is Lebanon? What kind of a fake government is that? But I digress. I want to talk about Trump's prospects. Now, he said today, the quote is, I think this was updated. It might have been from yesterday, but he says, I don't care about the midterms. It's a good thing he doesn't care because he's going to lose them. The Republican Party is going to get devastated. I want to explain this because there are a lot of Canadian commentators who just don't seem to understand how the United States uses midterms or what they actually mean. The presidential elections are often used by the American electorate to pick a direction for the country, to give one party or the other a chance to implement whatever agenda they have campaigned on, whether or not they abide by it or not. U.S. presidents have a terrible record of doing what they say, including this one, at least as it relates to foreign policy and as it relates to the events in the last 6 months. He's been pretty terrible. The midterms are used. Somebody said to me, somebody who lives in Alberta, they said, the Democrats are offering nothing. There's no reason to vote for them. It's not what the midterms are about. The midterms are about whether you approve of the direction the presidency and the party of the president is taking, or whether they need a check on their power. The Democrats don't have to offer a vision for the midterms to serve their function, which is simply to check the aggression of the administration. There are a lot of Republicans who are unhappy with Trump engaging in all of these wars. Remember when he was the peace president and he campaigned on getting out of wars. Now, up on screen, there's a bunch of stuff up on screen, but this is the recent results between Massey and Gallarin. Now, Gallarin had a very low public profile. He had a lot of Israeli lobby money supporting him, and he did beat Massey. Trump is inferring from all of these Republican primary defeats of candidates that oppose him that that means he is popular with the American electorate. It's terrible, terrible point of view, because he's only popular with a certain segment of the Republican Party. He's largely lost the independents, and he's certainly not winning any Democrats. That 43% of the Republican electorate that supported Massey, how likely do you think it is that 100% of them are going to turn around and just support President Trump in an election that is not about direction? It's about checking power. It's about checking the presidency. Maybe he can count on the support of the 56.2% that supported Gallarin. But here's the problem with that logic. If Trump signs a memorandum of understanding, if he engages in a long-form ceasefire, if he lifts the blockade, if he doesn't resume bombing of Iran, he's going to lose Lindsey Graham. He's going to lose Ted Cruz. He's going to lose all the neocons that he has come to lean on. He's going to lose the Ed Gallarians. He's going to lose the Zionist vote. And he's already driven away. Whoa, that was wild. He's already driven away the MAGA base. Like, I don't know how people can deny it at this point. It's copium, is what I imagine. People are just coping. They don't want to deal with the fact that he has alienated the people who wanted Epstein justice, alienated the people who wanted to see those who trafficked in minors put in jail, alienated them. Those who didn't want the forever wars and looked for an orderly deconstruction of the American imperial empire so that those armies could come home, so that the American budget could get balanced, so that the infrastructure the United States desperately needs to build could get built, so that North American problems could be dealt with, not just in the United States, but outside the borders, Mexico, Venezuela, Cuba, Canada. All the issues that we entered into this presidency talking about have taken a back burner because of the Imperium exercising its power on behalf of the Zionists within the administration. If he gets out of this war, which I think he needs to do, at any cost to prestige, at any cost to electoral outcomes, for the benefit of the world, American forces need to retreat from the Middle East. It was this way before the war started. It was necessary then. It's necessary now. It's just that now Trump is going to take the loss, and he needs to take it for the good of humanity. His numbers are in the tank. That's what these approval numbers are. Consistently moving in a bad direction, and you can call polls fake news all day. You go ahead. This time is different. They don't need to be fake. Polling is only fake when the opposition pays for it and it's close. That's when you can count on it being fake. When, this is the thing about truth. It's kind of a funny thing. The people who benefit from the truth will tell the truth. The people who don't benefit from the truth will tell you lies. And that is a shifting litmus. It's a shifting metric. It doesn't stay the same all the time because the world moves. It's dynamic. The only thing that's constant is change. And it's the same in politics. It's the same in media. One day you can't trust Al Jazeera, and then circumstances change, right? You don't want to listen to Al Jazeera because it's anti-American, because it's Qatari, Qatari Carlson, and all of these epithets that we throw at commentators. But then all of a sudden, Iran starts raining missiles down on Qatar. Well, now their coverage of events becomes much more balanced. And you, as a person trying to understand the world, you have to be willing to shift along with it. Look, I could give a damn who puts a crew on the ground in Iran or any other theater to tell the story. If I'm getting a live feed, if I'm getting information, it could have a CNN logo on it. If they've got the crew there, I'm going to look at it. Like, there's channels I watch, like Midas Touch. It's so ravenously anti-Trump. It disgusts me. I usually can't get through more than 4 or 5 minutes of one of their videos. But I make myself watch it because hundreds of thousands and millions of people tune in and watch that stuff every single day. You need to know what people are saying to weigh out the balance. Now, one of the most reliable indicators of the president's popularity is, of course, Rasmussen. Before Mark Mitchell was silenced, he is still silenced. He's still out of the game. It's wild to see. This was his company, his organization, but he has been sidelined because his polling was showing something that is obvious to everybody, and that is that Trump is becoming wildly unpopular. And even with him being sidelined, and I would argue some thumbs are on the data, the trend is, it's right there in front of you. Now, Trump says he doesn't care about the midterms. Maybe he will when he's getting impeached. Maybe he will when his entire administration is hauled before Congress to answer for all of this. Maybe none of them will face justice. I mean, government doesn't do that. Maybe none of them will face permanent dismemberment in front of the eyes of the political public. But it will delay everything. Remember in the first administration how he went in there and he got bogged down by Russiagate, bogged down by C-19 in the end, bogged down by all of these things, bogged down by his own people, as the people that he relies on for support right now, the Zionists, fought him every step of the way in 2016, and to a lesser degree, fought him in the lead up to this election. These very people that he's depending on right now were in his circle, causing him delays. He brought them into his administration. The whole administration got caught in a quagmire of mud. Everybody was talking about how Q, and it was this master plan, and it was Machiavellian brilliance. But really, in the end, it got bogged down. And in the end, whether it was stolen or not, the 2020 election was lost, and people said Biden wasn't the real president. Well, he made decisions. He passed regulations. He passed laws. He signed executive orders that when Trump came into office again, he had to revoke them. So I guess it was all real, wasn't it? And we're in the middle of another Project Truth. We're in the middle of another Q continuum of nonsense right now, emanating from certain aspects of YouTube that insist this is all about knocking out the British Empire. What? What? Doesn't even make any sense. All to cover up the fact that Israel seems to run the United States, seems to run the Trump administration. And don't be lazy. There's nothing anti-Semitic about highlighting that the political state of Israel has outsized influence in the United States and has a hold over the world. Not all Jews. I don't use the word Jew because I happen to know there's a lot of Jews out there that agree with my assessment. How can it be anti-Semitic if I'm largely in agreement with perhaps even a majority of Jews? Maybe not Orthodox Jews. They don't like it too much, because this government well represents them in Israel. Israel is the only nation on earth right now. Every single day they kill dozens of civilians. Every single day they level their structures. Every single day they issue orders kicking people out of their homes in Lebanon. And this was after what they did in Gaza. Every single day. Then they level those homes. They shoot people indiscriminately. They have been found. Not just like, I'm hearing these headlines today about how the Israelis are victims again because the United Nations is pointing out they use sexual violence as a means in their jail to get what they want out of their incarcerated prisoners. But it's not the United Nations that made those allegations. It's Israeli soldiers themselves, as well as the prisoners. And I'm supposed to believe that not a single word that emanates from anybody opposed to the state of Israel's actions is fact-based. They're all liars. Millions and millions of people, they're all liars. The entire world, anybody that opposes the Israeli government is anti-Semitic and lying. They get away with murder every single day. They don't face condemnation for it. Europe, feckless, leaderless, rudderless Europe, can't even seem to bring themselves to fully condemn what's happening in Lebanon. As the Israelis march and take and take and take and kill and kill and kill, they should be under sanction. You want to talk about bringing justice to the world? They should be sanctioned. They should be neutered. They should be disarmed. They shouldn't have nuclear weapons. Look at the type of government they run. And when you say these truths out loud, You become an algorithmic pariah. Watch what this video does. It'll probably be half of what my last video was. Because you cannot criticize this government. Why is that?